these things I write unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light and in him no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. There's a lot of things that kind of stood out to me in that. That I'm not the only one that's a sinner. Pretty sure everyone in here is a sinner. And I feel that God is kind of calling us to be real and open and honest about that. To not be fake. We put on these faces that everything's good, that there's no sin affected us, there's no sin that we have committed that is hindering us to be open and honest, to heal each other. I mean, how much freedom I think we would have if we were just open and real and honest with what we're going through, what we're experiencing, the hurt and the pain that we're having, and just be raw with each other. If we say we have no sins, we make him a liar. So there's definitely things that are affecting us that we are doing. Something that's not pleasing God. I'm pretty positive no one's perfect here, unless I'm the only one that's not perfect. If there's anyone perfect out there, stand up so I can sit back down and learn from you, because I am far from perfect. If we say we're perfect, that just put me in awe.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what I'm hearing from this word, and what I'm stirred up to want to share and say is, let's not pretend that we're perfect. Let's just be open and honest with each other. Because it's not about us and what we feel and what we've done, the mistakes. If we truly believe and have faith that God does not see our sins anymore, then we should be able to expose those hidden things in darkness, not only for our own selves and freedom, but for other people.
Yeah.
And that's my heart. I don't want to be fake and pretend that I'm something that I'm not, that I haven't been places that I wish I have never went. I'm thankful for God that he makes a way to be cleansed and free from our conscience and our own thoughts and ideas that we put on ourselves. But to proclaim the truth, how God sees us, that we're his beloved, that he doesn't remember no more, and to be open and honest with real and about those things that we've done or even going through, or the hurts that someone else has caused us, to allow that realness in the world. This world, they look into these churches and they say they're perfect in there. I'm not worthy to step in there. And why do they think that way? Why do they feel that way? I think it's because we put on this facade that we are all perfect in here and you're not welcome. God help us if that's how it is. If that's how we are perceiving ourselves to be something that we're not. But we're all sinners saved by grace. And let's be open and honest and real about that, so people could feel comfortable to come as they are, because that's what God calls us to do, is he calls us to come as we are, that he will do the cleaning, that he will fix us up, not on our own works, lest we take a piece of that glory and he dismantle us again and abase us, that way we would be reminded that it's all about him and what he does. It's His deliverance. It's His glory not to be shared with anybody. And that's just all I have to share. Thanks.
Still cutting hay. It's almost October. They're still cutting hay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving Simeon the strength to come up here. Thank you, Jesus. Let's make a little more ground coverage in 1 Corinthians. Move forward a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. It doesn't seem like we're gone very far, but there's been so much just in these first couple chapters. Corinthians seems to be very applicable to our modern day situation here. Probably could say the churches that are in developed, well-to-do countries where there's plenty, this seems to be the struggle, where there's plenty of education, the intellectual has risen up, there's plenty of goods. The issues that we see in here are kind of resulting of that. And one of the issues that we've covered so far is the infancy of Christianity. They're still babies. One of the struggles with, I knew this, raising kids up in here, I remember thinking, I just had a flashback just now and talking to you about it. I said, our greatest struggle is going to be, raising these kids is going to be all the things around them, all the provisions and everything that surround them, where they would forget they even need a God because everything is just given to them. And that's the struggle of this land, the thorns and the thistles that grow up and they choke out. So babes in Christ is the issue here. They should be farther along than that. There's a process in our life that we are to be babes in Christ when we first receive Him. You don't go to instant perfection and maturity. There's a growing that goes on. There's a growing in the grace and knowledge of God. We go from faith to faith. That's really cool. I like that. I don't like to go from faith to something to works. I don't like to go to faith to... I want to go from faith to faith. Simple example, last week, I lost my wallet last week at Friday night, the Friday night revival. This Friday night, Gretchen lost hers. Last Friday, I realized that somewhere in the midst of things, and that was such a distraction to me. Satan was using that big time. Like, what am I, a babe in Christ that I can't even focus on what's going on because I got to find my wallet. I got to find my wallet, and you know, identity theft, all these things. And then I started thinking, well, maybe that person that looked kind of shifty that was here,
yeah.
You know, and I'm up at the grapevine in the dark and I'm like, God, what is wrong with me? Why am I so carnal that I can't trust in you? And there's something beautiful happening down just 100 yards down below me. And I'm preoccupied with this little carnal thing about my stupid wallet. In it. Who cares about that? Who cares? Take my identity, take my whatever of this world. I got identity in Him in heaven, you know, so I need to resolve that. Obviously, I would like my wallet back, but which I did. I did get it. It wasn't stolen. It was lost. How should I say?
We have the same looking wallet, so it was in my pocket.
He wasn't the shifty guy either. That I... So fast forward 1 week, a complete failure and struggle for me that night and feeling like a loser. But God turned that around and re-strengthened me and He helps us. Gretchen losing hers. Same thing, same process, and you could see that. And start thinking, was it maybe the Scranton people?
And stuff. I accuse people in my mind because it happened, you know, how many times I'm like missing something, and it's like, oh, only one time have I ever actually had something stolen.
So I was able, through the strength of my immaturity in Christ last week, and being strengthened and going from faith to faith, I was able to use that next level of faith and help my wife this week, saying, and you heard it last night, Terry, we were praying in here, we need to trust God. We need to be faithful in the small things. What are the small things? $1 billion. All the money and all the material on this planet is a small thing to God.
Amen.
And he wants us to be faithful in those things. Okay? And that is simply trusting in him, in the material things. Seeking him first, and all those things will be added to us. We need to seek God first. God, we're going to trust you in this. And so that was part of our prayer meeting last night. And as we were going home, the pieces started coming together for her. As you remember talking to Patty in the kitchen, and that was the last place I had it. I was talking to Patty, and then she gets home, walks in the house, and then there it is on top of the refrigerator. So you text Patty right now and tell her, and Terry, I mean, because we were praying about it. Tell Terry right now, because we were just praying about it, strengthen her faith. So, simple example, going faith to faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, being babes in Christ and minding to mature in some of these areas. And I have immaturity, obviously, in some areas, and I want to leave that area and go to another place of faith. Roger.
I have to praise God in that, and you've just shown me how I used to, it's the same way, how I would automatically think of, try to blame somebody else for something, or, so from my own actions, or a lot of the time. But things on my understanding and not God's understanding.
Yeah.
And how I turn so much over, just the little things I turn over to him today, and how easy it is for, just to see his will through it all, and how that changes it makes me feel, and how I feel so much better, and I'm humbled with that.
Amen.
He just shines through everything. It don't matter how big or how small it is.
Yes.
If you just stop, get down on your knees and give it to him, that how he shines through all that.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I love God. Love you, God. I love life, because how he shines through me, and it's changed me. That I used to think, that I had to have this because somebody else had that, or blame somebody else because, I misplaced something, or same thing. It's just it's awesome.
Amen. Thanks for sharing that. Amen.
It's a trick of Satan to keep us in fear and trapped in whatever thought patterns he wants to play, instead of, okay, Lord, I'll find it when you want me to find it, and then go worship at the tent or whatever you were doing.
Yeah.
But that's what the devil loves to do, is put the fear in there and keep us off track of what God wants us to do.
Yeah.
And it happened to me this week too. I let fear rule for a little while, and then I said, oh God, I'm sorry. I realized I'm wrong. I had to go back to Dwight and say I'm sorry. And within 2 or 3 minutes, the whole thing was resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that.
As soon as you let it go.
As soon as I let it go, God provided.
So we might as well do an illustration while we got good testimony to back this up. And we'll have an illustration, so really bring it home. This is spiritual judgment versus carnal judgment. This has also been part of the book of Corinthians. Not to carnally judge. Do not judge. That's the command Jesus gave. Do not judge. But we are to judge all things in a spiritual nature. If there's a carnal and a spiritual judgment. We talked about that. Some of you shared what you thought the difference was. That's the key, isn't it? There's something that rises up, a situation, a lost wallet, a situation with Roger, whatever these things are, rises up, and it's like you get into a place of carnally judging or going to a spiritual judgment. And what's going on here? Oh, this is the enemy attacking. That's a spiritual judgment. Okay, that's the right judgment. Or, this isn't working. These people are out to get me, take my wallet and stuff like that. That's carnal. It's looking at carnal thing. I started looking at people carnally. Maybe it was them. Maybe it was her. Maybe it was, got it? That's happening in real life and right before us. So the Word of God is our grid. We live off the grid. You ever hear that? What that means? That means you don't have power running to your house. you're living on the land, but there's a real off the grid that we're called to as Christians.
Amen.
Off the world's grid. Mm-hmm. That's the judgment that we get from the world and how we think and our thought process. We're to take on a new grid, and that's the Word of God. The Word of God, the truth, is the grid that we're to take. That's the framework that everything will be poured through. So this is a simple illustration of the flow of the Spirit, and there's issues in that flow that need to be screened out. And it's probably hard to see, so I'll do it up high.
Yep,
that's some heavy things in there. So life is flowing, you know, the revival is moving, God's speaking to people, it's all happening, it's awesome. Oh, isn't that nice? Oh, these are the chunks, these are the things that get in the way. Now, if we didn't have the grid of the Word of God, we had our own carnal judgment, everything would be stopped. The whole flow would be stopped. The Spirit wouldn't be moving through because He works through the Word of God. He works through truth. So that's being passed through, and what's being screened out, the Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides asunder that which is flesh and spirit. Okay, this is the flesh, the chunks. Don't let this mess you up. Simply allow the Word of God to do its work and to screen these things out. Don't inhibit the flow of the Spirit, because you get all caught up in this, what's happening here with the lost wallet or whatever's happening. Okay. Praise God. Good testimony too. Appreciate that. Let's continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now he that plants and he that waters are one. And every man that receive his own reward according to his own labor. I think that's where we finished off. He that plants and he that waters are one, and every man, that's verse 8, shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So we have rewards coming, and as you follow the Lord, there's rewards that are going to be received in heaven. On top of receiving eternal salvation, you get rewarded from God, you know, for the things that you do. There's rewards coming in heaven for the things you do. You don't labor in vain. And it's as if eternity wasn't enough, as if the Lord Himself wasn't enough, He still rewards us. And that's just awesome. It hasn't entered into our minds or our hearts, you know, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. It really hasn't. It is, you keep pouring more on me, Lord, and, you know, that stop. Charles Finney, you know, part of his revelation, he had a lot of head knowledge about God. And God's going to say, man, it's time to blow you away. I'm going to show you my love. He started pouring it on him. He described it as liquid waves of love just washing over him. He says, God, turn it off. I'm going to be dead in this, and not another second. My body cannot handle this. Stop. There was so much energy in the love of God. And through that resource of power, his sails were filled with the wind of the Holy Spirit, and he moved through this state, and there was powerful revival. So that's cool. Part of the cloud of witnesses, even in our own area here. Praise you, Jesus.
And what I found out, that after God builds our faith, so that if something else silly like that comes along, we won't be caught up in it.
Amen.
And that builds our faith in Him, that He can take care of these details.
Yeah.
He never spoke the circumstance. He always spoke the answer. That's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
He always spoke the answer, not swallowing the circumstance.
That's good. Yeah. Gives you the truth. Yeah. We want to drag Him into the detail of the situation. And God, look at this tangled up rat's nest right here of a mess. What's that? And God's not going to just like define the mess that you made and work in the mess and become part of that mess. He's going to completely dissolve that with the truth. And that's awesome. I know what you're talking about. Praise God. That going from faith to faith is really cool. To me, it's kind of like You ever step rocks in a creek? You go from one rock to the next so you don't get wet. You're going across and it's like, maybe I can make it to that next one. You know, and it is, it's a step. It is a step. There's something in you that wants to stay in that safety, that place, that faith that you've been in all these years, the same testimony, the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. God wants you to step forward.
Amen.
And you're like, I don't know. You know, but he's taking us the steps of faith. It's happening all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not like 10 years ago, it's now, it's today.
Yes.
He wants you to take that step on the right. Trust me in this area. And it's a step out across some raging water sometimes, what seems. So let's continue in verse 9 here, chapter 3. This is awesome. For we, that's you and me, are laborers together. Your translation might say co-laborers with God. And ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. He's going to expound on the building part. I'm going to talk about the husbandry first, which is farming, agriculture. That's what that word is. We are laborers together with God, and you are God's husbandry. That's a cultivated field. Very powerful. Two illustrations coming out here in Corinthians that we are the cultivated fruit of God. We are the harvest. It's on our window there. Louise, you gave me something. I still got to read that and digest it. Something about the harvest, a prophetic word before church today. For we are laborers together with God. Amen. Co-laborers. That Greek word is synergos. That made my hair stand up looking at that. Synergos. What does that sound like?
Synergy.
There's a synergy. There's something about us co-laboring with God that develops a very powerful agency. It's not us just, hey, we're going to see what God does and then we'll just kind of like, no, he wants us to enter into this labor. There's something about God working through man. That's a very powerful synergy that he designed. Why is prayer powerful? Because he's powerful and there's a synergy in the prayer. Amen. Of man entering into that. We are co-laborers together with God. We need to believe that you are entering into a place of power when you're praying. You're co-laboring with God. We're told to work out our salvation. Oh no, man. With fear and trembling. Yeah, this fear and trembling, if that verse stopped there. For it is God that works in you to will and do his good pleasure. Do you hear the synergy there? A lot of people are like, I got to work out my salvation. Even Mother Teresa, God bless her, and all that she did, they just sanctified her and sainthooded her. And she could have known that the first moment she received Christ, that you're a beautiful saint in God. And he did it all and you're covered. You don't have to do a million works. She felt that all her life. And I think that's a tragedy. I haven't done enough. Co-laborers with Christ. It's with him. It doesn't stop there of us working out our salvation. For it is God working in us to will and do his good pleasure. It's a tragedy that church has become something, or it can become something, of an organization and it become dead. When it stops becoming a living body working together. Oh man, do we need Tina? Do we need Simeon? Do we need Patty? Do we need Mindy? My goodness, do we ever. The significance of you co-laboring with God and all of us together doing that, the gates of hell will not prevail. They will not prevail. A dead organization, the gates of hell are going to prevail. There's going to be destruction and carnage. Co-laboring together in a synergy with God, look out. Look out. You are God's husbandry. You are God's fruitfulness, his harvest. The cultivated field. He's cultivated each one of us. Some of that process we question sometimes. I don't want to be rototilled, God. It's not comfortable. Can you just cast the seeds on top of my ground? If you want to be shallow. If you understand If you understand that the preciousness and the value of tribulation in your life and challenge, if you understand the possibility and potential of that, you'll say, turn that rototiller on, man, and put it to the fullest setting. If you understand the value in it, we don't though. We barely have an inkling. We just know it hurts, and we say, turn it off, go to a lower setting, please. You're his husbandry, you're his cultivated field. And then he goes on to, you are God's building. That building is the temple, but it's not just the temple in its fullness of structure, it's the inner court. It's where the Shekinah glory fell and would exist. That's what you are. Not the outer court.
Thank you, Lord.
Not just making cider and donuts and stuff like that. I'm just outer court, people. No, you ain't, man. You got the Shekinah glory of God. All of us. Even little Asher. Come on. God's opening a ministry to the brokenhearted here. It's so evident. It's so obvious. It's so beautiful, too. And it is to his glory. One of those individuals was at the center of the tent Friday night. Broken life. Broken. Deeply cultivated. Rototilled. There she sat. There, the church, you could just see them coming from the north, from the south, and from the east, and from the west, and the chairs. Maddie's arrangement. And gathering around her, laying hands on her. Just quiet, beautiful tones of prayer. Just knowing that she's so hurt, that she's so tender. God, just heal her. God, let her sense the love of the body of Christ around her. In the midst of that moment, without cue, the littlest one came up. The littlest one in that tent came up. 1.5 going on 2 this February. And this little tiny hand came up on hers. Little tiny hand, and stayed there for a long time, praying for her. We can't design this stuff.
No.
Can't put that in a program. And say, okay, at 10:05, then Asher steps in, and then you do this, and we'll have a rehearsal the night before. God is moving. The Holy Spirit is healing. He's doing what he wanted to do from the cross all along. The joy set before him. This is the joy set before him. It's happening. It's really happening. You are the Shekinah glory of God. The smallest to the tallest, the oldest to the youngest. The intelligent, the not intelligent. You are his building. The inner court. He wants you right in there. He wants you close. It's unconditional. It isn't like you'll keep close if I want you close. That's the heart of God. I just want you close. But nothing. No excuses anymore. Just draw in. He will not turn you out. He will not in no wise cast out anyone that comes to him. Whosoever. Whosoever, it is good news. It does set people free. It does heal people. As Gretchen plays the last song, we'll just invite the kids to come down and let's just love on each other. Somebody needs prayer. During the music, just raise your hand if you need prayer. And just think of it as reaching up to God, and his body will respond. He's desired his hands and his feet to be on this earth. That's you and me. But each one of us goes through times where we just need to reach out and ask for it. God, I need to receive now, Lord God. I need to receive from you. There's nothing wrong with that. That's everything right about that. Don't be afraid. Raise your hand today as we're singing. Now the body of Christ to respond and be healed in the name of Jesus. Praise God.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven.
The significance of you co-laboring with God and all of us together doing that, the gates of hell will not prevail. They will not prevail.